Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you on board with us as we face the issues. Let me remind you, lest I forget it, you can join in the dialogue and discussion. Ask your questions by calling 831-0917. 831-0917. If you're out of the area, it's 904-831-0917. That telephone call gets you directly through to the studios and right to our microphones so that we can entertain your question, your comment, your dissent, if you please. You may want to disagree. We're not going to be disagreeable. We'd love to have your input as to your thoughts on the subject that we discuss each and every day as we face the issues. We'll be talking about today America's future and freedom hang in the balance. America's future and freedom hangs in the balance. We're talking about in the balance based on what we do at the ballot box November the 3rd. Many have already started the voting process with the early voting. But ladies and gentlemen, we need to recognize where we stand and make the determination in about 30 days. In about 30 days, the decision will be made as to the legacy that we leave for future generations in America. In about 30 days, we will have cast our ballots. We will have made the decision on what America will be like rather than what it has been for the past 244 years. We can make the decision by vote as to whether or not it will change dramatically, radically, and will destroy all that we have known as freedoms in America. We'll be talking about that in just a moment. We'll have a very special guest we'll introduce in a moment that we'll be having the dialogue and the discussion. Mainly today, we'll be talking about the Florida ballot. What's on the Florida ballot? Some of the amendments. There are six amendments that's on the ballot. We'll be discussing those and talking about them. If you wondered how you're going to vote, perhaps this is an ideal time to call in and ask your question that we can discuss the ballot initiatives and make the determination as to what God would have us to do. Ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, let me remind you once again, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. We need to become central biblicist. That means what does the Bible say? Not a matter of the dogma by a denomination. It doesn't make any difference about the ideological bent of a political party, but it does make a world of difference for now and eternity on what the Word of God says and how we need to make the decisions as to what we're going to do for the future of our nation, future of our family, and the freedoms in our nation. Jesus, speaking to his disciples in John 8:31-32, said, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." Ladies and gentlemen, it was the fact that multitudes, even in that era, did not understand truth, and Jesus wanted them to understand that if you stay in my word, that's the word of God, that you can understand the truth, know the truth, and the truth will set us free. Then it was in John 14:6 that Jesus says, "Thy word is truth," in John 17:17, that is. But Jesus said in John 14:6, "I am truth." And we need to recognize the truth of the word of God. It was the secularist George Orwell that said, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." But I like to quote you the words from the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, "Faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death." And I believe that's the position that every Christian ought to take today. It's not a matter of what some may say. It's not a matter of what the Communist Network News may present, but what is truth? How do you find truth? Truth goes back to the original. Truth goes back to fidelity to the original. And from Genesis 1:1 through Revelation 22, we find that it's the truth of the Word of God that shall stand forever. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of brands like Honda and Echo for the homeowner. They carry the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment, mainly with the Honda generators. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about landscape lawn care equipment for the homeowner as well as for the professional. They can answer all of your questions about hurricane preparedness equipment and the generation backup equipment. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. There's a gigantic flag, American flag flowing, about 165-foot flagpole. At the base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com, ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, perhaps you watched the debate. I watched all of the debate. I cringed at some of it. I was challenged by some of it in relationship to the way the questions were asked. But I think that we need to stop saying who won the debate. I just simply asked the question, what debate? President Trump had to defend against two opponents in that debate. One of the opponents was the moderator, Chris Wallace. Chris Wallace would challenge him, force the president to answer questions that were not pertinent, and yet would not do the same with Joe Biden. Ladies and gentlemen, Chris Wallace and Joe Biden both were challenging President Trump. The key question, ladies and gentlemen, we must be asking is, what kind of America do we want in the 2020 election? What kind of America do we want beyond November the 3rd of this year? Christians and conservatives, and may I say even every patriotic American, must recognize that America stands in the very crossroads of the history of our nation. So we ought not to be concerned with a debate. We're at war for the future of our nation. This is a war. Hand-to-hand combat, if you will. Not literally in the streets with weapons, but it's combat. We're fighting against the main enemy. It's not a battle between Democrats and Republicans, although it's fought out in that fashion. It's a battle between good and evil. It's a battle between Satan and the Savior. It's a battle between God and Satan. And that battle is being fought today. And ladies and gentlemen, we as believers have the tools in our hands, i.e. the Word of God, to win the battle. Christians must be fully informed of the issues on the ballot initiatives. We need to be fully informed as to what the ballot calls for. Let me just give a little blurb from an article that makes a statement. It says, America's at the crossroads of history. Have you looked around America today? Do you even recognize the nation that you grew up in? How could a nation founded on Christian principles so easily yield to the forces of darkness? How has the church become so oblivious to what is going on around us? How can we not understand that the devil is trying to destroy everything that's good? How can we not understand that what we're facing is a war for the very soul of this great nation? The battle is not political, however it involves politics. This is perhaps the most consequential moment in American history. At least since the signing of the Declaration of Independence, America is at war. Further, the article states, and I paraphrased it a moment ago, did you know that the battle that is raging before us is not Republican, it's not Democrat, but the real battle is the battle of good and evil, a battle between the seed of the serpent and the seed of woman. At no time in American history have the battle lines been clearer. Now is the time for the church to arise, to stand up, to be heard, to be seen, and to carry out the warfare that is before us. Ladies and gentlemen, I agree with that writer. It is very, very clear as to what we're faced with. And may I say that we need to recognize that the very future and the freedom and the faith that we have as Christians today are all under siege by the enemy. Our great nation, ladies and gentlemen, was founded on Christian principles, and these biblical principles, ladies and gentlemen, may I say today, are under attack by the socialist, Marxist, BLM Democrats that are carrying out the warfare on behalf of Satan and the demonic minions that wants to tear down and destroy our great nation. Every believer, ladies and gentlemen, must understand that if we lose this battle, that if the re-election of President Donald J. Trump is lost, we lose the foundations of our nation. And Psalms 11:3 is very, very clear. It says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? We as the righteous, i.e. the salt and the light in this world, we need to be seen, we need to be heard, we need to stand up, speak up, and be vigilant in carrying out our responsibility. Let me ask you a couple of questions before we make a transition and introduce our special guest today and get into the meat of the subject of what we're talking about, with America's future and freedom hanging in the balance. And we're going to do that, illustrate that, by way of talking about, especially on the Florida ballot, as to what you'll find and how we need to vote. But ladies and gentlemen, did you know that in the 2016 election, 31 million Christians did not vote? Did you understand, ladies and gentlemen, do you know that in the 2016 election, nearly 40%, listen, nearly 40% of Christians that voted, 40% of the Christians that voted, voted for a party that promotes sodomite marriage and abortion on demand? That's talking about the Communist, Socialist, Marxist, BLM, Democratic Party. Why is this so? How is this possible? And it's simply possible, ladies and gentlemen, because we, for the most part, I believe many that's listening to my voice today, we are not focused on the very pertinent issues. We're not focused on the primary. We're not focused on putting the first things first. We're not focused on the ballot initiatives and those that are running for office. I may need to ask this question. Have you vetted the candidates? Have you analyzed who they are, their background, and where they stand? Have you analyzed the question, should Judge so-and-so be retained? Have you analyzed the ballot initiatives on the six amendments for the Constitution for the state of Florida? Do you know why they're there? Who placed them there? Who are the promulgators behind them? Do you know the end result if they're there? Do you realize what it is doing? This is the reason we're having this particular interview today, that we're going to ask these questions and look at them. Ladies and gentlemen, the secularist Marxist BLM Democrats are going to be in control if the battle is lost by the conservatives. If the socialist Marxist BLM Democrats are in control, they're going to control the courts, they'll control the U.S. House of Representatives, they'll control the U.S. Senate. And if President Trump, ladies and gentlemen, loses this election, the socialist Marxist BLM Democrats intend on packing the courts. That is, they'll add additional Supreme Court justices and basically destroy the impact of that judicial branch of our three branches of government. They will add D.C., that's Washington, D.C., and Puerto Rico as two additional states. And ladies and gentlemen, you might say, so what? If they do that, ladies and gentlemen, they will add additional four senators and perhaps up to as many as eight additional representatives. That will absolutely put it in the position that it would be impossible for there to ever be but one party ruling the United States of America for the next 50, 60, 100 years. Most nations that have gone down that pathway never return, never go back to a dual system, never go back to a system where the citizens really have a, if you please, an option in the voting. If, ladies and gentlemen, the Democrats, the socialist Marxist BLM Democrats win this election, ladies and gentlemen, they will destroy the filibuster in the Senate. They'll allow simply a majority vote to carry the issue. They will destroy our Constitution. They will vacate our Bill of Rights. They will cancel our religious liberties and freedom of speech. They will confiscate our weapons and cancel our right to keep and bear arms. They will destroy the church and Christians and Christian rights. They've already proven their desire to do that in what they call the Equality Bill that was passed back in February, House Bill 5, passed by 240 votes by Nancy Pelosi's House. Ladies and gentlemen, therefore, this election, I can't emphasize enough, this election is the most pivotal, the most valuable, the most vital election in your lifetime and mine. We need to know the issues. We need to know what we're voting for and why we're voting. Ladies and gentlemen, we're delighted today to have with us on Let's Face the Issues, Congressman Mike Hill, District 1, in the state of Florida, in the Florida House of Representatives. I am delighted for his knowledge, his friendship, his fellowship as a Christian. I am thankful for his position. And I've said to my wife and I've said to others that he and I have a pretty good same worldview, Christian worldview, biblical view, and view on where we stand in the realm of political agenda. And so I'm always delighted to have him with us. Mike, thank you so much for joining us on the air today.
Dr. Youngblood, thank you for having me. It's always an honor.
It's my honor and delight, brother, to have you with us. And you've heard my monologue, What Do You Say in Relationship to the Seriousness of This Election, and Why We Are Going to Be Talking About This Election Today and Inviting People to Call In and Ask Their Questions.
Dr. Youngblood, you were spot on with your opening monologue. Everything that you said, I agree with 100%. And as you say, you and I share the same biblical worldview, the Christian worldview of how we should govern ourselves and how this nation should be run. So everything that you said, I agree with completely. And you made one point that is so important, was the number of Christians who did not vote in 2016, then amazingly, the percentage of Christians who voted for unchristian values, such as abortion and homosexual marriage. It's amazing that someone who would call themselves a Christian would vote for that. And to the other point, the church must not sit out this election in 2018, coming up very quickly in November. The church, the body of the living Christ, must go and vote in November for their Christian values.
I am, Congressman, I'm always stand amazed, I'm appalled by some of the responses by Christians. Some that will say, well, I realize, and I'll use a hypothetical, but it's going back to illustrate several opportunities I've had to talk with those that will make this statement. I realize that the Democratic Party is not perfect. The Republicans are not either. I realize the Democratic Party stand for some things that I'm really personally against, but I still want to do the voting for this candidate, this candidate, this candidate. Can we bifurcate our morals and ethics and values to that degree that we'll say, as a Christian, I believe this, but politically, I'm going to vote for someone at an office for the person that is diametrically opposed to my, quote, Christian biblical belief. How is that possible?
I can't see how it is possible, Dr. Youngblood. And then on the other side of that, we had many Christians, and I knew some who go to church with me, who said, I cannot vote for President Donald Trump. I cannot vote for him because of his lack of ethics, the way he talks, some of the things he says, some of the infidelity he may have had that he's been accused of before he ran for office. And they said, so I cannot vote for him. So you're going to vote for the Democrat because there are some things that you don't like in his life. But you know that President Trump stands for the Republican platform, which is pro-life, pro-Constitution. And so I don't understand how someone can say that they're a Christian and even use their Christian values as a reason to not vote for a president who stands for the things that that is the Christian worldview. So it's baffling to me, Dr. Youngblood.
It really is. In fact, I have gone so far, Congressman, to say that if a person can bifurcate their Christian values in such a way that will try to give themselves leave to vote for one that is for the homosexual marriage and for a murder by way of abortion, I question, and only God knows the heart, but I would question that person's relationship to the Lord. I would question whether or not that person has truly been born again. For example, with the recent so-called debate, it was a fiasco. It was not a true debate. There were a lot of folks that in some of the peer groups where they would sit and analyzed the debate, what was said, and who they felt was the winner, and why they're against Trump, or why they're against Biden, etc. And some of them were amazed and turned them against Trump because, after all, he's a billionaire, and he paid very little taxes. Well, I'm looking at an article here. It says the Bidens avoided paying more than $500,000 in payroll taxes by exploiting the S Corporation. While the Joe Biden campaign was quick to leap on the New York Times story that President Donald Trump paid a small amount in personal income taxes in recent years, it is clearly a case of the pot calling the kettle black. Of the nearly $13.3 million that the Biden couple took in primarily through speaking fees and book royalties in 2017 and 18, they claimed just $750,000 in total income. The Internal Revenue requires the S Corporation to pay reasonable compensation to employee shareholders before making non-wage distributions to them. And there's about a five-page article goes into the details of an S Corporation, et cetera, which is held as an individual. And you're familiar with that corporate structure. But the point is, they were taking advantage of the IRS rules and regulations and the loopholes, if you will, just as President Trump. But it was pointed out and so drilled on in the so-called debate that it made it look like President Trump had done something illegal, irregular, or out of the norm in his business practices, and therefore there was an attempt to demean and besmirch him. But going back to the fundamentals, with the so many Christians taking a position that look at President Trump's morals, ethics, and values perceived to be or otherwise, look at the scripture at the number of kings of Israel and how many of those God used at David, for example. David was a murderer. David was an adulterer. But look how God used him. And I've said to people, when we vote for a king, i.e. a president, we're not voting for Jesus. We're voting for the one that God would use as his tool, his instrument for leading the nation. And that's always been my position, and I challenge our listeners today to recognize that. By the way, just for a little backpedal a moment, a question. What was your view of the so-called debate? What was your takeaway from that?
Well, as you said, Dr. Youngblood, it was two against one. Donald Trump was actually debating both Joe Biden and Chris Wallace. I read an article somewhere that stated that Chris Wallace interrupted Joe Biden 15 times, but he interrupted President Trump 75 times. It was clearly not a fair fight. Now, I will say this. A lot of people were saying that Donald Trump kept interrupting Joe Biden during Biden's response. Trump would blurt out something or try to interrupt him. And I believe that that was a calculated move. And what I mean by that is President Trump, first of all, they practice for these debates. They practice many hours for these debates with a team who will Yes. coach you on how to respond. And I believe part of their strategy was, do not let Joe Biden connect with his audience. And one way of doing that was to interrupt him, to get him to get thrown off, to lose his train of thought, his talking points. And I believe that was why President Trump so frequently interrupted Joe Biden. Now, did that debate change anyone's mind? I don't think so. I think those who are going to vote for Trump are still going to vote for him. Those who are going to vote for Biden are still going to vote for Biden. I don't think that they moved the needle at all of anyone into their camp. Even the percentage that's undecided right now, which I cannot understand why anybody would be undecided at this point.
Yes, I agree with that.
I'm not so sure that any of the undecideds were convinced as to who they should go vote for. I think when they go into the voting booth, they're still going to be undecided, and they'll probably just close their eyes and pick someone. Utterly amazing. But overall, I would like to see the debate, the next two that are coming up, in a little different format. And of course, I have no say in that at all. But what I think would be more beneficial is if each of the candidates were in a separate room. So that way they cannot interrupt each other. And that way that the moderator could ask each the same question and then allow them the same amount of time to respond without interrupting.
That's a novel idea, I think. Going back to the President Trump's jumping in and saying things to Biden, two things in what would be called the art of debating is, number one, you need to defang your opponent as quickly as possible to put them on the opposition, to put them in a position of defending their position. And secondly, President Trump was doing that in, I think, many of the occasions. I watched every second of it. I think he was trying to force Biden to respond to questions that were not being asked by the moderator. And as a result of that, it looked as though he was pushing him, and perhaps some would call it bullying, as I heard one call that. But nevertheless, I'm in agreement that there needs to be a different format, in my opinion. Now, I'm not for some of the things that they're talking about changing in the next debates, where the moderator has the power to shut the microphone off if he disagrees with what the particular person is saying, either President Trump or the candidate Biden. If you would, Mike, hang on for a moment. I believe we have a call on the line. Go with your question or comment, please.
Say again?
Hello. Go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Actually, I need to disagree with both of you just a little bit. I love both of you to death. The debate the other night, as much as they interrupted one another, and Trump probably 10 times as much as Biden, it was closer to a debate than what we get a lot of times. Because in those little jabs, there were questions that the moderator refused to ask. What do we do when the moderator asks all these questions and we're sitting on the edge of our couch going, why don't you ask this? Well, the candidates know the hot button issues. The candidates know what will set the other one off. And that oftentimes exposes what's really taking place behind the scenes. So yes, the moderator should keep them from completely pummeling one another and completely walk, but every now and then let it go. Let it go. Let them walk over one another. Let them talk over one another and then say, by the way, we're going to give the other side a minute since you stole that from him. But let some of those things go so we get a real debate. Do you think Chris Wallace was going to ask the questions that Trump threw at Biden? I don't think so. He's not going to ask about Hunter Biden. Hunter Biden's not running. But Hunter Biden is a part of this because he's part of that family, and millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars have flowed to the Biden family because of Joe Biden and because of the influence peddling that he did. Being an influence peddler using our tax dollars, using our might as a nation, is a very dangerous thing. Tell me, will Biden stand against technology theft out of China, the human trafficking, the practices every single day, the currency manipulation? Will he stand against Russia or Ukraine on any issues? Well, maybe not, because Biden has seen tens of millions of dollars, hundreds of millions of, I mean, the $1.5 billion from China that went to the BHR, the investment firm of Hunter Biden, from what we understand, that yields millions of dollars each year. The $3.5 million from this mayor's wife in Russia, apparently to Hunter Biden or a firm that he had connection with, we got to know, what in the world was that money for? I mean, those questions, they're needful. They're needful, and we won't get that. We won't get that out of your typical mediator, your typical, Chris Wallace. That just won't happen.
You're exactly right. I'm thankful for your input on it. And we're going to take, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take about a 1 minute break at the top of the hour. Then we're coming back and with Mike Hill, district representative for District 1 in the state of Florida. We're going to talk about the amendments. We had 6 amendments on the ballot in the state of Florida, and I believe everyone that's listening needs to understand the whys and the wherefores about those amendments. And we'll pick up right after the news. Hang in there. Don't turn your dial. We'll be right back.
With Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.